I'd like to reiterate what Chris said about mothers. My actual mother is dead, but I have an adopted family. I have brothers and sisters. I have the elder women are my adopted mothers, and so I thank you as mothers as well for all the things that you do for your family. We're always listening to someone, aren't we? Television, telephones, radio, internet, different ways to communicate. But we also have voices in our head, okay? But the question is, who are we listening to the most? And you have to understand, and Jeff mentioned it this day in class, but our Heavenly Father and our Savior, they know our thoughts. They know our hearts. They know our intents. And when you think about that, you need to keep that in your mind, because sometimes, like me, your thoughts go astray. Sometimes I have thoughts that are good. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're just trivial. And we have to bring our thoughts in line with God. And this is important for us. For example, in 1 Chronicles 28, and this is David speaking to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will find of thee, but if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He knows our hearts. He knows our imaginations. Probably knows I don't have that much of imagination. But he knows my heart. And so if you find yourself thinking things out loud that shouldn't be, you need to bring that into control. In Job chapter 21. And this is the Lord speaking to Job. Job chapter 21, verse 27. Behold, I know your thoughts and devices wherewith ye would wrong me. He knows our hearts. Turn to Psalms 94, verse 11. Jehovah knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. They are vanity. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verse 18. For I know their thoughts, their works and their thoughts, and the time comes that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come, and I shall see my glory. We read in the Bible that Jesus, when dealing with the Pharisees, knew their hearts. He knew the questions that they were going to ask. He knows the things, the questions that we have. And if we don't keep our mind concentrated on serving God, then our thoughts can go askew. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. We all have thoughts, and sometimes our thoughts, like I say, they go astray. Sometimes, with me, they race ahead. I always had a hard time going to sleep at night. Okay? Because my mind was just racing with all the things that came to my mind. And so I had to find ways to shut down that active mind. And some of us, even sitting here listening to a lesson or a Bible study, our thoughts go all over the place. And we have to try to rein them back in and focus in on the Word of God and the things that we're learning. So with the voices in our head, there are probably two, maybe three, maybe more sources that come into our head. First off, there is God, the Father of lights. In James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits for his creatures. So what does that say? Even our thoughts in our head should be following God. Because he brings to us the word of truth. And that's important. Because then we have good thoughts. But another source is Satan, the father of lies. Turn to John, the 8th chapter. And here we see Jesus preaching in the temple. And he's rebuking the Pharisees and those who look for a way to trap him. John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stands not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and father thereof. But because I say the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I say truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears the words of God. For this cause ye hear them not, because ye are not of God. And understand, there are a lot of people in this world who do not hear the word of God. And their thoughts are evil, and their thoughts devise ways of iniquity. Not all the time, okay? But they are not hearing the word of God. Now, some would say that we have other sources, our own thoughts. But when you think about it, our thoughts are either dictated by our focus on God or not. They're not dictated not on God. And I tell you, I struggle daily with my thoughts. A random thought pops into my head, and I go down that alley. Okay? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's trivial. And like when I was working on this lesson, all of a sudden, I get sidetracked and I go down this rabbit hole. Okay? And 2 hours later, I'm going, I don't have enough time to research all this. But that's what happens. We go down this rabbit hole and we think things that sometimes are not appropriate. And like I said, even sometimes in Bible study, your thoughts go astray. Okay? Might have jumped to something that you're planning to do, some event. Might be thinking about who's going to win the championship, or what do I have to do tomorrow in work? You know, you start going down the list and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute. What's the teacher saying? What am I supposed to be listening to? If it's a bad thought, you need to rebuke Satan. And I've gotten pretty good about that. If all of a sudden a bad thought comes into my head, you know, driving on 995, sometimes bad thoughts come about drivers that are out there. And so Satan, get behind me. I don't shouldn't be thinking that. You know? And we're told we should call no man fool, no man idiot, no man moron. But the Lord knows that they're out there. Okay? But it's not my place, because they are children of God. Even though they may not be following God, they are still human beings and they have a soul that's valuable to God. And Satan wants to prey on these thoughts. He wants to take you down that rabbit hole, take you down to that evil intent. Because our words, our thoughts in our heads can become action. We can take action upon that. In 1 Peter, he says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, We had, been a while since we had a lesson on Satan. I think it was our warrant officer, Ghost Guard warrant officer, that last taught a lesson on that. But he's there, he's alive, and he is real. Just look at the world today, where people call evil good and good evil. Satan is working overtime, and he's here today. He's here today. Because the rest of the world that aren't Christians, he's already got them. And a lot of people who claim to be Christians, they don't follow the will of God, he's got them. But he's here today because he wants to distract you from listening to the lesson and from committing yourself to serving God. Now, Satan has many weapons in his arsenal. I'm only going to talk about three today. The first is worry, fear, and doubt. Worry. Turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And once again here we find Jesus teaching in the temple. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what's the message there? Don't worry, be happy. They made a song about that. Don't worry, be happy. We don't need to be anxious. But we still have to deal with anxiety. I am, having been in the military for so long, I really do not like to be late. I get anxious if I'm going to be late. Okay? My wife fusses with me sometimes. We'll get there 10, 15 minutes early. I don't want to be late. Okay? And so we deal with anxieties, but we have to keep our mind in focus. Don't worry, be happy. We should not allow Satan to deprive us of the joy of being a Christian. Okay? We should not have to worry about things. Okay? And I'm reminded of an account of a preacher up in Annandale. He's now deceased. But he talks about it one time as he was, at that time, he was kind of like a circuit preacher. He would go from church to church, congregation to congregation, and preach. And he was supposed to go to this one city, but he didn't have that much money. He knew that if he got there, he might not be able to get home. But he went anyway. He preached a lesson. He thanked God for the opportunity to preach. But he came out to his car. He knew he didn't have enough gas to get home. When we got out there, someone had put a $5 bill underneath his windshield wiper, allowed him to put enough gas to get home. Trust me, $5 back then, a lot of gas. Not today. But that's the kind of thing. We have to put our faith in God. Do what is right, even though there are times when we're not sure what will happen. Can we get home? Okay. Another thing that Satan uses is fear. Turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. And here Jesus is rebuking his disciples. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Save, Lord, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him?" Fear. Oftentimes we have fear. Fear of failure, fear of things that might happen to us. But we have to put our faith and trust in God. He's going to take care of us, no matter what happens. And sometimes bad things will happen, but we still have to put our faith in God. Jehovah 27:1. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. My light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Have you ever been afraid? Really afraid? When I was 12 years old, we had moved from Georgia to Arizona. We were living in a little town in Springerville, Arizona. And it's a nice little town. And Friday night, I went to the movies. And I had to walk to the movies. I had to walk by, I had this, the other kids had told me it was a haunted house. And I went to see this movie, and it was a horror movie. It had Vincent Price, and it was about the last man on earth, and everybody else turned to vampires. And right in the middle of the movie, the power goes out. And everybody started screaming and yelling, I just got to walk. I was scared. And then I had to walk by this haunted house. And my knees were shaking. I was only 12 years old. So I've been afraid. We've all been afraid of certain things. But in our mind today, there are other things that we get afraid of. You know, talk to someone about God. Are they going to reject me? Are they going to scoff at me? Okay. We all deal with fear, but we have to conquer our fear. We have to press on, even though we might be afraid. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And we have to keep our focus and our mind on heaven, on our spiritual life. Yeah, they may hurt our body, they may kill us, but we need to keep our focus on God. Philippians 4:13, one of my favorite verses. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Matthew 10:28. This is one that you should know as well. Matthew 10:28. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay? And we are told that we are supposed to fear the Lord. But that's a good fear. I equate that to like fear of my father. I was fearful of disappointing my father. I didn't want to do something that would cause him to get upset with me or shame him. And the same thing goes with God. He's our Heavenly Father. We should fear Him. We should fear stumbling in this sense that we disappoint God. But Satan uses fear to make us do other things. And another thing that we need to worry about that Satan uses is doubt. Turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus walks on water and comes to his disciples in the boat. Matthew 14:25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, why did thou doubt? And when they were gone up in the boat, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Okay? Why did Peter doubt? He was walking on water. He took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the wave, the wind, and began to sink. His face faltered. Okay? Doubt is something that Satan uses all the time. Let's look at, for example, other examples in the scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now here in 1 Kings, Elijah has just destroyed the priest of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning of verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Right here, right off the bat, there's a threat. Jezebel is promising that she's going to kill Elijah just like he killed the priest of Baal. Okay? Verse 3, And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down underneath a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough. Now, Jehovah, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of Jehovah came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink. And went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So what happened here? Satan used the fear to get Elijah to leave. He was afraid. He was afraid for his life. But as we see later on, he was also afraid because he thought he was alone. He was desolate because he thought he was the last person to stand up for God. But that's not the case. Beginning in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him and said to him, What doest thou, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, a great and strong wind, and rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, saying, What doest thou, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Jehovah said unto him, Go, return unto the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king of Assyria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou appoint to be king of Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Adramelech shalt thou appoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And yet will I leave me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So what do we hear? What are those voices in Elijah's head? Initially it was darkness, it was death, it was despair. And then the word of God came to him. Okay? The word of God came to him and reassured him. The voice of truth. This was the voice of truth. You are not alone. Okay? You are not alone. Okay? And that's what we have to have in our thoughts. The word of truth, the word of God. Okay? When we are assailed by fear, worry, and doubt, we need to have the word of God, the word of truth in our heads. Let's look at another account. Let's look at Saul. Turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. You're familiar with this account. This is the account of Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning at verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he were able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. How big was Goliath? That he was 6 cubits and a span. Well, a cubit's between 18 and 21 inches, and a span is half a cubit. So, and scholars argue about the size, but the highest one was like 9 feet 9 inches. He was huge, okay? I was a wrestler, you know, and I had to wrestle some guy, and I wrestled heavyweight, okay? And I wrestled some guys that were huge. 300 pounds, bigger than me, okay? Okay? And if you go out on the match and thinking, I can't win, you're not going to win, okay? And that's the voice that's in Saul and on the armies of Israel. If I go out there, I can't win. I will die, okay? But who didn't have that thought? David, okay? So the threat was that he was going... that Goliath wanted to fight one of them, okay, as a champion of the Philistines against the champion of Israel. Okay. And so that was a visible threat, and they all worried about that. And Goliath came out 40 days, twice a day, and made that challenge. But what about David? Now, remember David in chapter 17, he came to bring food to his brothers. His older brothers had come. Three older brothers had come to follow Saul in battle against the Philistines. Okay? So he brought them, and he heard this. Okay? Beginning of verse 22. David left his baggage in the hand of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with him. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the ranks of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And what was David's response? Okay? Extreme confidence. Okay? And so what's he think? Who is this guy? Verse 26. And David spoke to the men that stood by, saying, What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine, and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Think about that. He's putting his faith in God. Okay? He was confident because he's already experienced it. He told Saul that he killed the bear, the lion, to protect the sheep. He was confident. He had the word of God in his head, the word of truth. And he says, I will fight. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him, and thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And what's the voice that's in his head? With God's help, I will win. And so we know that he goes out, and he fights Goliath, and he kills Goliath. Not with the armor, not with a sword, but with a sling. And then he takes his sword and cuts off his head. He had confidence because he knew that God was on his side. Okay? What's the difference? What causes one to believe? That voice in your head that either says, I can or I can't. So what gave David that courage? It's that word of truth, faith. So when we go back and look at when Jesus addresses the weakness of Satan and the weaknesses of men, or the weapons of Satan and the weaknesses of men, he says, Why worry, O ye of little faith? Why fear, O ye of little faith? And when you doubt, O ye of little faith. Okay? And we read those passages that showed that. Because the voices in our head sometimes say, we're worried about this, we doubt this, we're fear. You can't win. These lies from Satan. They'll say, you're a loser. You're ugly. I wish I could die. You're worthless. You're a failure. You're alone. Why would anyone love you? You can't. And this is what Satan is doing to the world today. We see today a lot of mental illness in our country. Okay? And you and I can argue about mental illness and about the cures and about brain chemistry and things like this. But I think some of that is due because people do not follow God. There is no God in their life. Okay? A lot of them, and a lot of children and young people have never been taught the Bible. Okay? Sunday morning, they're doing other things. Travel teams and stuff like that. But what happens? They get despair, loneliness. Satan preys upon their mental struggles. And they act out. But we must listen to the voices in our head, to the voices of truth. Ephesians 6:16. With all, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. Shield of faith. That means that we turn worry to trust, we turn fear to courage, and doubt to confidence. To live is Christ. You are not alone. God is there with you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, okay, in the eyes of God. You can do all things through Christ. You are a servant of the Most High God, and God loves you. Now, the world is constantly speaking to us through the means of TV, movies, and books, and newspaper. Okay? And Satan is taking advantage of all those means of communications to try to bring us down that rabbit hole, things that take us away from God. The question is, are we listening? Somewhat, yes. But we have to be careful. To whom are we listening? Whom are you listening to the most? We need to be as cautious about our listening as we are about our speaking. Good listening is like turning into a radio station. Okay? You go in there and turn on 4 or 5 radio stations and listen to it. That's confusing. Okay? And we need to tune into one station. Okay? One station. For good results, we can only listen to one station. And if someone is talking to you, turn the radio off and listen to them. My wife rebukes me all the time, too, because sometimes I have to do that. I have to turn off whatever I'm listening to listen to her, to give her attention. But voices are speaking to us from every direction. Some of them we need to turn off, and some of them we need to tune in. We should have a deaf ear to the defiant voice of Satan and his word, and his world that wants to take us down to perversions and abominations. But when God speaks, we need to listen and tune in to his word. And the best way for people is to seek and to trust in God. So how do we get the voice of truth? By reading and meditating the word of God. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He who has ears, let him hear. We need to listen to God each day. You can't skip a day because those other voices creep in. Other voices that want to take you down that rabbit hole, down that dark path, that wide path that leads to destruction. We have to make sure that we work on keeping our thoughts focused. And it's a struggle for me. And we need to make sure that those voices that keep pulling us away, we tune out and we focus in on the Word of God. Psalms 139:23. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God knows your thoughts. He knows when you go off on that tangent. He knows what you're thinking. And that's serious. You can't hide. God knows your thoughts. Okay? He knows what you're doing. You can't do things in secret. He knows what you're doing. we have to work hard to discipline our mind to focus in on the words of truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. That is a challenge that we have to face each day, to bring our thoughts into captivity for Christ. So the question is, we know that God is something, but are you listening to the voice of truth? Just one last thought. Go back to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Remember when the Lord went to Abraham and told him, talked about the fact that he and Sarah were going to have a child? And Abraham's like 100 years old and Sarah's like 90. Okay? And the Lord asked him, where's Sarah? She says, she's in the tent. And when the Lord told him that they were going to have a child, Sarah in her thought laughed. God knew that she laughed. That he knows your thoughts. And we need to bring into captivity our thoughts so that we can be a better servant of God. Think of these things as we stand and sing.